I guess President Trump wasn't bluffing as he drops the Midnight Hammer.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to Seculo. This is Logan Seculo. Will Haynes in studio with me. We got a packed show. My dad, Jay Seculo, is joining us. Rick Grinnell is joining us as well. And possibly my brother, Jordan. We're going to see how things go. Looks like he's scheduled to still at our European Center for Law and Justice. So you're not going to want to miss this show. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Obviously, we're going to talk about the big news over the weekend. And Will, knock, knock.
Who's there?
I told you.
Ayatollah who?
I told you once, you son of a gun, we're the best has ever been. That's right. We did this one for Charlie Daniels. We did this one, I feel like, for Toby Keith. We did this one for all of your country music stars. It does feel a little bit like we are in that sort of war on terror moment again, as, of course, President Trump, after saying 2 weeks, said, I said within 2 weeks.
Right.
Within 24 hours. Drops the Midnight Hammer, as they're calling it. And look, I'd say I'm incredibly impressed with this. Watching the rollout of it, watching, look, and it's not that it doesn't make me nervous, not that I don't have feelings and thoughts about whether we are at war or not with Iran. Obviously, the main line here is saying we are not at war with Iran. We just went in and we took out three of these top enrichment sites. And that's good. Again, very Top Gun maverick that this happened here. However, I was very encouraged once I heard not only the statement from President Trump, which we'll play a little bit later, but the press briefing the following day when they kind of outlined exactly what went on in this operation. Incredibly impressive from this team. I really think when you have somebody like Pete Hegseth, when you have Marco Rubio, and you even have J.D. Vance, but you have those two, I think those two together are people who have been through it, who understand it, and clearly can execute a mission that, again, there were no leaks. No one knew it was happening. It happened before we knew it was over. Even so much so that the news wasn't even covering that there was this sort of major attack in Iran.
Well, and after that statement of within 2 weeks that we got at the end of last week, the mainstream and liberal media decided to have a field day with that. They were writing story after story and having monologue after monologue about how when President Trump says 2 weeks, that means he's trying to get out of something.
Make you forget about it.
In fact, The Atlantic published a piece around 9 a.m. Eastern time on Saturday, the very day that then a few hours later we discovered and were told that these strikes had happened, by David Frum, that says, "What Iran knows about Trump. The mullahs of Iran join the bet that Trump always chickens out." And we saw that that wasn't the case on Saturday.
You know, even if he hadn't done it, to say chickening out when you're talking about dropping bombs, I don't think it's chickening out. I think it's negotiations. It's going to the table. But of course, that is not what happened. You did have these precision strikes
right. That
happened. Sorry, I'm pumped up this morning. And now the outcry has switched. Of course, now those that were protesting with their Palestinian flags are now running around with Iranian flags. Again, fundamentally missing. No one, I mean, you can't find even a Democrat that would probably tell you, they may not like that we did this, but saying, man, Iran is the beacon of freedom. No, of course not. They've been under a terrible regime for many, many decades. Look, great people, great history, great legacy in Iran. I would love to see it turned back into what it was, if not better. And maybe that's where we're headed. We're not sure. But look, if it was to take out the imminent threat of nukes and war that could happen, look, we'll have to see how this plays out in a week. We'll see if it plays out in a month, in a year. You know, hindsight's always 20/20. But I do think this was the right move. My dad, Jay Seculo, is going to be joining us here in the next segment. And I want you to be a part of that conversation as well. Because we have such a packed show, we're going to take calls throughout the show instead of just waiting until the end. So 1-800-684-3110. Again, President Trump made a pretty bold move here. And this is a big move in support of Israel. You can be a part of that team as well, becoming an ACLJ champion at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you, 1-800-684-3110. Of course, we are covering the news over the weekend. We had to. We're bringing in some specialists today. My dad, Jay Seculo, chief counsel here at the ACLJ, Rick Grinnell and Jordan, my brother, will be on from Europe. Dad, though, it was a big weekend, one that, you know, I was at dinner, I believe it was on Friday night, and someone said, hey, what do you think about this 2 weeks thing? Do you think it's really 2 weeks? What's it going to be like? And I said, I don't know. You know, it could be that it is 2 weeks, we wait and see, and it could be that stuff happens tomorrow. This could be something just throw them off the scent a bit. And of course, by the time we had made it home, I feel like from dinner, the answers were there.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, the scope and nature of this is very significant. And that is, number one, the president acting under Article 2 authority as the commander-in-chief authorized a military strike that had been well thought out for over a decade and well executed. And a huge thank you to our men and women in the military that were involved in this. What a tremendous victory for the United States military. But also, this is a world-changing moment. And I think the thing to reflect on right now is that this moment in history, the world will change. And it will change because it has the real potential now, for the first time in, certainly in your lifetime, and I think mine as well, that we could see a total reshaping of the Middle East. We saw the beginning of that with the Abraham Accords. We've seen the continued security cooperation between Middle East countries, including Israel. The Arab world, for the most part, wanted to see an end of the Iranian regime. That nuclear threat was not something that anyone in the region would tolerate, but it took the Israelis initially and the United States ultimately to conclude a military exercise that literally makes the world safer for my grandchildren. And I will tell you, that's what I've communicated to our leaders, that they have changed the world with God's guidance. And President Trump gave God the credit for this. With God's guidance, we saw a sea change move here that I think, Logan and Will, we don't even know the extent where this could go.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there has been this sort of push over the weekend. And they're pulling up a lot of old clips showing, hey, look, pretty much every president has said Iran was the threat, that they could not get nukes. This is from Obama, from Biden, from Kamala Harris. They said, who's the number one threat to America? And she said, I think your first one you'd have to say is Iran. But of course, now it's people taking to the streets because President Trump did it with Iranian flags.
shows you how absurd this is. First of all, the Iranian people, by and large, they don't want to carry the regime's flag. I mean, that's not where they want to be. I read a lot of data last night, just political data from inside Iran, because the Shah of Iran's son is the crown prince, the crown king, really, of Iran. He said it's going to be up to the people of Iran what the government should look like, but he's the leading force for the opposition. And they reported that upwards of 80% of the populace, not just people under, you know, 45 or 50, but the populace of Iran want the Ayatollahs out, want the theocratic regime out. So I think you could, I mean, it's going to be, the Iranian people are going to have, the Persian people are going to have to be the ones that mobilize. But that's how you ultimately see a real regime change. When the people are behind that regime change, it makes all of the difference. They were 14, 15 years ago during the Green Revolution. Unfortunately, President Obama would not back those students. But this is a different president and a different time. And again, huge thank you to President Trump for making the difficult decision to execute this operation.
You put out a statement over the weekend that called this a Churchill moment. The decisiveness by the president and the obviously the outcome that can come from this. But one thing I think that makes this different and why it's easy for those that want to criticize the president have the luxury of doing so is that typically American foreign policy, when it's come to bad actors like this, have been reactionary, waiting until after they have done something like Pearl Harbor or you think of even 9/11, where threats were known, but then we waited to confront the evil until they had carried out something that cost a heavy price on American lives. This is a threat that every president, regardless of power or party, have said cannot happen. And it is just now that a president decided to do something about it. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, but it wasn't simply the president deciding to do something about it. This president said he will not allow in his watch a nuclear Iran, and they were very, very close. Even the IAEA, as you all have talked about on the broadcast, the International Atomic Energy Commissions, all of those organizations recognized that Iran was enriching uranium for weapon purposes. So that's number one. Number two, the president has been crystal clear on this. Yeah, I listened to some of the media on the left and said the president was deceptive. He was deceptive by saying within 2 weeks. He was deceptive by sending out the other B-2s towards Guam. Deceptive? That's called military tactics that makes our men and women safer when you're executing a mission-critical event, which this was. But you know what? Here's the good news. Iran has nuclear capacity, has been, if not totally eliminated, so significantly crippled, it will not come back. No one's going to allow it to come back. And I think you could see, again, I think regime change, if it arises within the people of Iran, the great Persian Empire, if it can arise there, you could see a real change for the betterment of the entire world.
We also know that Iran has said they will retaliate. We're seeing them also rush to the international bodies like the UN. We know that it's a different FBI than it was just even a few months ago that will focus on protecting the homeland, keeping Americans safe. But I want to get your thoughts on the international bodies, places that the ACLJ is active and working, as now we see the Iranians rushing to the UN Security Council. I can only imagine they may want to start reaching out to places like the ICC and things of that nature to try and go after America. What is the role of even organizations like the ACLJ at a time like this?
Well, number one, we've already been, first of all, Danny Danone, the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, was unbelievably great on the floor of the UN. He gave a great statement of what was really at stake for the world. We're already activated. As people know, when it came to the attack on when Iran attacked the civilian hospital in Israel, we immediately engaged our team. We're working very closely on the ICC matter at the highest levels with Professor Dershowitz. And, you know, we'll see what moves take place, but our teams are already reviewing everything as it relates to what the next move here. But I think the UN is going to be hard-pressed to, frankly, Will and Logan, I think the UN is going to be hard-pressed to do anything. But we've mobilized our teams. Of course, you're getting this broadcast. And I just encourage everybody, support the work of the ACLJ. It also is mission critical.
Yeah, absolutely, Dad. I'm going to let you go here because I think we got such a packed show, and I want to hear from everyone who's calling in as well. So give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. As you said, it is a very important time to support the work of the ACLJ. There's got to be the voices that are loud on this topic. And look, I saw some of the comments coming in. Of course, we're going to always have people who are on both sides of these kind of conversations. We always want to be honest with you, tell you the truth, tell you when we agree or when we disagree, and we do that. Maybe unlike a lot of people, we don't just do things for clicks. And I think that's why, and I'm very happy to announce, we have hit over 500,000 YouTube subscribers alone. Because we are telling you not just what you want to hear, not just tickling your ear. We are actually going in there and giving you the truth and the honest perspective. And a lot of commentators won't do that. But because of our expertise in the law, because of our expertise in media, we know that you're smart enough to understand the truth, to understand where things can actually go, good or bad. Understand where, yes, you may have a feeling that something should be legal, but then it's not. But there are moments like this that are very decisive. And I saw a lot of Christian influencers. I saw a lot of conservative influencers who have issues with this strike in Iran. And I'm not talking about, by the way, having concern for going into war. I can respect that. But it really comes down to what ends up becoming anti-Israel and anti-Semitic bias. So many of these people I saw posting started all talking about, well, you know, those Jewish people aren't really the Jewish people, and now we're supporting Israel, which is not the Israel you think of from the Bible. That Israel is this Israel, and we're now the Jewish people. So why do you... This is absurd, and it's not even worth having the conversation, because it's not really about that. It's about what's going on, what's right and wrong, and sometimes you can actually look at what is right and wrong, not just from a biblical perspective, which of course is the number one, but also from a humanitarian perspective. And if you have a country who has spent years and decades saying, we are going to wipe you, the United States of America, off the map when we can, and they're close to having a nuke. Well, you know what? Sometimes things have to get done. Do I hope this is the end that doesn't lead into a bigger global conflict? Yes, also as well. I also had to tell many people I know that they were not going to be drafted. And I had to tell them they were not going to be drafted because, I don't know, they were 40 years old and out of shape. You know, maybe that could we start there. All right, so let's just go from there. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. And become an ACLJ champion if you can. That's a recurring monthly donor. Go to ACLJ.org right now. We really could use your support. We're not funded by major sponsors or anything like that. We only are supported by you, the ACLJ champion and donor. We'll be right back with more. My brother, join us later, and Rick Grinnell.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Secula. We are going to take your phone calls in this segment and in the next segment, so I want you to call in. Because in the next segment, Rick Grinnell is going to be joining us a little harder to get to calls, and my brother, Jordan, will be on at the end. We'll be able to take some calls during that segment, but I wanted to make sure we get some of them in right now. So let's just kick this off. Let's go to Robert, who is calling in Maryland on line one. Robert, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to say thank you to our men and women in uniform, as well as President Trump, for taking this bold, decisive action to destroy the enrichment facilities in Iran that are one of the major components to develop nuclear bombs. Although I agree with your father, it doesn't completely eliminate them being able to do it. It badly, badly degrades them and sets them back. My question is, where does the United States go from here? What do we need to do politically, militarily, economically, and diplomatically to continue to put pressure on Iran? And if those things don't work, what may we have to do militarily in terms of going to war with this regime? They still want to destroy America, even with this defeat.
Robert, I think that those are very good questions, and I think a lot of that is going to play out over the next few weeks, and we'll see how things go. But in light of that, there's also some news that has come out, and it does involve Americans. It does involve American airspace and American military bases, and I think we need to cover that as we head into this. Again, this is breaking news that's just coming out.
That's right. The U.S. Embassy in Qatar has put in place a shelter-in-place order for Americans in Qatar. And
there are a lot of.
Right, exactly. There's a lot of business interest there. There is one of the largest air bases of the U.S. military in the Middle East is in Qatar. Another one is in Bahrain. But they in Qatar, they have said shelter in place, Americans. The Qatari government has put in a ban on their airspace, shut down the airspace for the time being. So you're seeing flights that were supposed to be landing in Doha that are being diverted to other places. So it seems like that could be a potential target of an Iranian retaliation shortly. We pray for Americans and the troops that are there, if that is the case, and that the defenses that the U.S. has will be able to ward off any such attack. But I think to Robert's point, that's the short term right now is securing our military personnel and our bases in the region from an Iranian retaliation and hoping that it doesn't harm or kill U.S. assets. Now, this would not be the first time that the Iranians have killed American service members. If you speak with any veteran that served in the global war on terror, they know that Iranian militias, Iranian IRGC themselves were fighting them. They were fighting U.S. in these theaters and killing many thousands of Americans. So this is not something that, although we weren't at war with Iran, Iran was at war with the United States and has been for decades and have a lot of American blood on their hands. So I think how this develops in the short term is the first thing. But I also think it is important that President Trump has continued to talk about peace and negotiation. This wasn't a shock and awe Baghdad bombing like we saw with the war in Iraq.
Yeah, I mean,
this was precision strikes on targets, not in major city centers or anything like that. And then what did the bombers do? They turned around and went home. No infantry invading, no other airstrikes. This was very targeted at the nuclear program.
I was actually glad that people hopefully tuned in and saw President Trump's statement. I think we have some of those sound from that as well, because I actually had my kids watch it because they were all hearing about the news started to rumble around. And I go, hey, this could be very much a historical moment. You probably need to be in the room. You probably need to hear what's going on. I'll explain to you the situation. And then I think President Trump came in definitively, strongly, made the statement, and it actually brought a little bit more comfort to my family to hear what he was saying. Again, not saying we're going into war, saying we were going in to stop war, essentially. Let's hear from President Trump, Byte 16.
A short time ago, the U.S. military carried out massive precision strikes on the three key nuclear facilities in the Iranian regime, Fordo, Natanz, and Esfahan. Everybody heard those names for years as they built this horribly destructive enterprise. Our objective was the destruction of Iran's nuclear enrichment capacity and a stop to the nuclear threat posed by the world's number one state sponsor of terror. Tonight, I can report to the world that the strikes were a spectacular military success.
spectacular military success. Now, we are still awaiting sort of the full damage. We've seen some of the overhead images. You can definitely see that tunnels were taken out. A lot of things were taken out. Some of the buildings may still be standing. But again, at least we know they went in and took care of things. And of course, Iran has responded. They've started to make some moves. That we've obviously seen some issues in Israel already, kind of uptick once again in Israel. And that's unfortunate, but we kind of knew that that was probably going to come.
And once again, those three nuclear sites, Fordo was the most fortified. That was the one that was
the one we knew the name of.
200 or 300 feet down in the mountain, built in a very specific way to try and shield it from someone trying to take it out. That one will be the one that takes the longest to assess what damage it did to the actual vault that is underground where they carry out these nuclear enrichment capabilities.
Rubio was like, yeah, we know that, because why would they be building this all underground?
Right, exactly.
If you didn't think it was being used for nefarious reasons, why do you think they decided, we need to build this hundreds of feet down?
Well, and once again,
Iran
has an operating nuclear power plant in that provides a large amount of electricity to their people. You know how much of their enriched uranium from this program they spent billions of dollars on, and all these secret bases and all these sites, how much of that enriched uranium is used for that nuclear power plant?
How much, Will?
Zero. Not a single bit. It all comes from Russia with an agreement. And then Russia takes the depleted cores back to Russia. So they're not even trying to do it for civil purposes, creating a better energy grid for their people. No, they are doing it for one reason only, to get to 90%, to put on a warhead, to get to the United States or Israel or anyone else they feel like they need to blow up. And they are crazy enough to do it.
Yeah, and I think that is an okay thing to think about, be concerned about too, which is what Russia does, what China does. They are more friendly to Iran. So what does that look like into the future? That was my son's first question, who is, he's a middle schooler who's kind of in this sort of global world of global politics and history. And he kind of said, okay, well, this is Iran. Now, what is Russia going to do? What's China going to do? Mm. Those are the logical questions that I think a lot of people will be asking. And those will be whether this escalates to a point of, sadly, a no return kind of point for a war. But as of right now, it doesn't feel that way.
Well, we know that the Iranian foreign minister has gone to Russia to try to meet with the Russian regime. There's also been some interesting comments from Vladimir Putin, where he's like, well, there's 2 million people in Russia that are Russians, in Israel that are Russian speaking. It's almost a Russian speaking country in some ways. So do with that what you will. Of why maybe Russia has kind of sat on the sidelines a little bit. They do have a good relationship with Iran, but they also, in ways that maybe the world doesn't even look at, they have a pretty decent relationship with Israel as well.
Yeah, we got a second half hour coming up, and I want you to join us and be part of the conversation as well. Rick Rennell is going to be with us, I believe, in the next segment or one more after that. He'll be in a middle segment, and then my brother Jordan is going to be ending the show with us. So if you want to call in, this is a great time to do it. But as we just have about a 1 minute break here, I want to encourage you, because look, you should know that being an ACLJ champion is also having your voice heard. We saw a lot of people who we've had on the show over the years come out and say this was the right move. And a lot of that is because they see how big our influence is. And again, at YouTube alone, we just crossed 500,000. And again, we'd only started using YouTube a few years ago. So it's been amazing to see that new audience come in. So thank you so much. Go to ACLJ.org also if you'd like to donate and become a champion. We'll be right back, less than a minute.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Second half hour coming up, and it's jam-packed. Rick Grinnell's going to be joining us in the next segment, and my brother Jordan Seculo at the European Center for Law and Justice will be joining us as well. We are also monitoring any breaking news that's coming out of the conflict in Iran, of course, Israel. We know President Trump will be making some statements later this afternoon, so we'll be following that today and tomorrow on the broadcast. But Will, I do think we should give an update for people who are just joining us right now, because there has been some developments. Some of them have to do with Americans that are overseas right now in different areas of the country, and it could at least give us an indication of where things are headed.
That's right. So within the Middle East, obviously the United States has a lot of people that are there for business, that are there for military, because we have a lot of bases there. Mm-hmm. And what we're hearing now is that in Qatar, the government of Qatar has shut down their airspace, at least temporarily, as well as the U.S. embassy there has told people that they need to shelter in place. If you're an American, shelter in place. Basically, just stay where you are. Don't go on about your business. And that the potential that the U.S. airbase there, which I believe is either the largest or the second largest in the region, with the air base that we have in Bahrain being up there with it as well, that it could be a target for retaliation from Iran. And one other thing that we'll get to with Rick Grinnell as well is that reporting has come out that just days before President Trump sent the order to go, while he was at the G7, it appears, Iran sent a private message to the president saying that if the U.S. were to attack, they will respond by unleashing terrorist attacks on U.S. soil carried out by sleeper cells. Now, one, that threat alone is enough to trigger military action by the U.S., saying we have operational sleeper cells of terrorists in your country. That is a threat that you, out of Article 2, you can act out of self-defense of the country. So they almost gave the president a wonderful gift of, here's your rationale for attacking Iran, is that they are threatening to unleash. And that fact alone, the fact that these are potential things, the Department of Homeland Security has also issued a new bulletin about a threat to the United States.
That's right.
About that.
That is one of the things that we know we've been covering. I told you that 1 o'clock today, Eastern Time, President Trump's supposed to be meeting with his national security team. And what has come out so far, this is per Fox News, President Trump is assembling his National Security Council in the Oval Office. As they are saying, again, this is Fox, this is me, saying Iranian attack on a U.S. airbase in Qatar is imminent. So again, that is coming from Fox News. Now, if that starts to happen, the world starts to change a little bit more and more, because there's a difference between a precision strike on, you know, nuke enrichment areas that, so far as we know, have had very little casualties,
right?
Any.
I haven't seen any reported numbers. Obviously, anyone that would be there would be considered a military target of sorts, because these are military programs. So it's not the same as striking, I don't know, a cancer research center in the middle of Tel Aviv, like the Iranians did with their hypersonic missiles. There was no military value to that target other than just sowing terror on the Israeli people and actually hurting a lot of people in the world, because a cancer research center was struck and severely damaged by those ballistic missile attacks by Iran. So we're going to talk a lot about this with Rick in the next segment. We're going to talk about what it looks like, as well as you are seeing a hypocrisy from those on the left that celebrated when President Obama launched airstrikes on Libya, which was not a great threat to the United States at the time, and did not get approval from Congress, are now saying, how dare he? This is unconstitutional.
Yeah, we're going to hear next from former Director of National Intelligence, Rick Grinnell. Again, because of you, we're able to have these kind of voices on this show. I don't believe there's anywhere else where you can tune in and hear so many incredible points of view, whether that's from our commentary team, whether that is from our legal team, like my dad, Jay Seculo, my brother, Jordan Seculo. Again, Rick Grinnell, former Director of National Intelligence. If anyone could weigh in on these situations and give you a real lay of the land, it's these people. And of course, we couldn't do that without you at 1-800-684-3110. You can call in, but you can also support the work. And I encourage you to. Your voice needs to be heard, and it is at ACLJ.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Secular. I always make sure we have all the voices that we can when there are this incredible breaking news that happened over the weekend. And when we have someone like Rick Grenell, who is a former director of national intelligence, who's been ambassador, who's been involved in so many different things, runs a Kennedy Center, it is important to hear from all the voices that we can, because Rick, there are obviously a lot of people who are concerned when they hear that we're going into some sort of conflict with Iran. Now, again, this was a precision strike. I'm very pleased with the decisions that was being made and I was really impressed with how it was taken care of. But there is a concern that over the last handful of years under the Biden administration, so many people have been getting across the border. So many issues have been happening that there could be these, quote unquote, sleeper cells, I guess you'd say, inside America that could get activated. And of course, it's a little bit more calm now in terms of that with President Trump. But we did have kind of an unfiltered multiple year run there where people are concerned.
Yeah, look, I think this is one of those situations where a lot of people are kvetching about a lot of issues that they don't need to be kvetching on. This is a serious situation where President Trump has decided that this was a threat to U.S. national security. He did a one-and-done incredible takeout of the three nuclear facilities. We've set it back or destroyed it. We're waiting for more evidence. But the individuals who are trying to say, you know, this immediately means we're going to go to war, there's a forever war, and all of those arguments, I understand their concern. But what they're missing is that Donald Trump rose to power without buying into the usual Republican Party. I think we have to admit that Republican Party idea that we can somehow export democracy, and yet President Trump in the primary in 2015 and 16 and in the general election made it clear that he doesn't view our role in the world that way, that he wants to put America first. But putting America first sometimes means that you do limited, targeted, precision strikes to protect America, and that's what he did.
Rick, another thing that we're starting to see as well is, one, obviously, the Democrat members of Congress are towing their party line, and even though they've supported unilateral action by President Obama, whether it be in Libya or in Pakistan, now they're obviously saying this is unconstitutional. How dare he? But you are starting to see liberal and Democrat voices on places like X that are not afraid to speak out and say when something was the right decision. You had Jamie Metzl, who was on the National Security Council for President Clinton. He worked for the Senate Foreign Relations Committee for Joe Biden. And he put out a very strong statement where he said, I didn't vote for President Trump. I think Kamala Harris would have been a better president for, you know, democracy, society, our economy, etc. But he just said, I also believe Vice President Harris would not have had the courage or fortitude to take such an essential step as the president took last night. Could this be a moment where we start to see not maybe support for President Trump in the way that politically would happen, but that real honest voices, even on the traditional Democrat Party side, can speak out and say, this is good for the world, that this is done not after Iran has dropped a nuclear weapon on an American city or on Israel?
Yeah, look, put me down as a supporter of the individual senators who from time to time speak their mind, step out against the party and that they're a member of, and share some, you know, thoughtful, courageous points. I never mind that. I'm not somebody who just thinks, you know, every Republican has to just vote like, you know, the group. And so I think when you look at the situation, many Republicans do that now. We've got lots of senators who are not always doing groupthink. They're stepping away. They're making some thoughtful arguments. I don't see the same thing in the Democratic Party. It is starting to break, Will, as you say, a little bit. We're seeing some people step away. But the usual, you know, kind of Trump derangement syndrome is what I see mostly. I see people who just, whatever Trump says, you know, they're going to take the opposite view. And it makes them literally look radical and crazy. They have to defend things like biological men in sports because Trump is against it. They can't help themselves but take on the opposite issue of Trump, and that means they're screaming about tren de agua, illegal aliens in our country, and wanting to bring them home from El Salvador, simply because Trump wants the opposite view. And so I think the Democratic Party is in shambles, both financially and emotionally. And the reason why is because they have too many people who are in leadership that have Trump derangement syndrome. No matter what Trump says, they have to take the opposite view. And Trump is getting the last laugh on this because they're literally articulating some of the craziest, most radical fringe ideas simply to own Trump.
Yeah, Rick, I think that becomes the answer that's a little too on the nose. You have people now, it seems like the flags have changed, and now all of a sudden they're waving Iranian flags in the streets, and I'm seeing a lot of those posts start happening. And it's clear that they have no idea what they're talking about, because even the people in Iran have issues, a lot of issues, of how their government has been run since the 70s, since the revolution. But history doesn't seem to matter if President Trump is involved.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, because they just are racing towards some of the most radical ideas and groups. And whether it's, you know, supporting Hamas, I just saw a video where this protester was literally trying to say things positive about Hamas just in order to be the opposite of Trump. And this seemed like an educated woman from the suburbs. I think we're in a dangerous situation when we don't allow individual voices to step out. And again, I think, you know, David Hogg, as the deputy at the DNC until recently, he was the one that was saying, you know, we have to have a purist Democratic Party, no contrary voices. And if they do, if you step out of line, then he was going to primary you. And that type of thinking, I think, makes America less safe, because we need to be able to have thoughtful opposition and situations where, whether it's a Republican agreeing with something that the Democrats do that's filled with common sense, or the opposite, when President Trump does something that is good for the nation, having Democrats compliment it, I think is exactly where we need to be striving for and pushing our political system towards.
Rick, we do want to cover a little bit of breaking news that is happening right now. As expected, there has been a report that Iran has launched 6 missiles towards U.S. airbase or U.S. bases in Qatar. We've been talking about this, Will, for the last hour, but now they said there's noises, there's explosions. It's happening right now as we speak. Again, these are reports, but they are reports that are happening in real time. If you're watching this live, know that we're covering it.
That's right. And Rick, we've got about a minute and a half left, but obviously very strategic location for the U.S., a lot of Americans in Qatar. As this is just unfolding, what's kind of your first thoughts as you hear this?
Well, first of all, we're trying for peace. Donald Trump wants peace. He's saying that we need peace. But when the regime in Iran is now launching attacks into Qatar at U.S. bases, I think they're just plain stupid. Yep. That is not going to end well for them. They have limited capacity. Certainly, it's very dangerous. They could kill American troops, and it's the wrong decision. It's the wrong reaction. But from this regime, I'm not surprised that they're reading the whole situation erroneously. So I think what we need to be doing is thanking God that we've got Donald Trump, who wants peace but will absolutely respond in a way that protects America.
Yep, we'll keep you updated. Thank you, Rick, for joining us. If you want to stay tuned, everyone, we're going to keep updated on this live breaking news. Again, as explosions have been heard over the capital of Qatar, of course, as we've said, we believe these are attacks on American bases. It may become a game-on situation. We're going to see what happens. My brother, Jordan Sekulow, is going to be joining us in the next segment. He is in Europe right now. It's a little bit closer there at the ECLJ, the European Center for Law and Justice. He's doing great work there. And it's always important to make sure that we have a global presence, because when these kind of moments happen, we have to have people mobilized all over the world. And again, we can't do that without your support. We're fully engaged in Europe, at the UN, and you know it's going to get crazy. We have to be there. We have to have your voice being heard. My brother's going to be joining us. You already heard from my dad and from Rick Grinnell. It's a packed show, but this is why it's important that we're live each and every day.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Secula. We are covering this really breaking news. It's happening as we speak, as there have been explosions reported, missiles reported, headed towards American bases in Qatar. We've been covering since the beginning of the show that those threats were coming, and now it seems like it is happening as we speak. We don't want to make light of this. We want to make sure that you stay informed. But we're also going to be joined right now by my brother, Jordan Sekulow, who's at the European Center for Law and Justice. And Jordan, even when President Trump was speaking the other night, my son was like, you think that over around the world, everyone's listening to President Trump, they're hearing it? And I flipped over, because we have that access, I flipped it over to the news in Europe. And yes, President Trump was there live, because this is a global issue.
Of course, because now wherever there are Americans, there is a target. Now we will see. I think one thing we want to discuss, Logan, is you know, the air travel is much more closely watched here, because it's only about a 6-hour flight away, so not very far. And those flights are going nonstop back and forth, because this is just like flying across the United States of America, basically from coast to coast, and you could be right in the heart of the conflict that's going on. And I use conflict carefully. Because about an hour ago, I saw, so right as you were going on air, that Qatar had closed down their airspace. So it makes sense that Iran has reacted this way. I do want to highlight to people, I don't want anyone to forget, that so far, as the United States pointed out yesterday in the briefing with Secretary Hegseth and the general in command of the mission, that Iran did not fire one time at our airplanes as they entered Iranian airspace and targeted those three nuclear sites. Iran did not fire while they were leaving. So what does that tell me? It tells me that Iran as a country, not as a terror group, by the way, as a terror organizer and a terror sponsor, but Iran as a military has the ability to continue these shorter range attacks. Now they are trying to bring the U.S. a little bit deeper into this. But what have we seen so far, Logan? No support from the outside world. So we know that this is crushing to China and Russia to some extent. But now that they fired on a U.S. airbase, I can't imagine those countries continuing to try and at least publicly say more than just words. Because if they get caught actively funding a military operation against the United States, the consequences are dire for them. And I think what we saw with the bombing raid is how strong of a military we have. Thank God we have Donald Trump, because I don't know how many times on this broadcast, and basically my entire career has been lobbying in Washington, D.C., different nations to stop a nuclear Iran so that we didn't have to get to this point, but that we knew that at some point there would be a president of the United States that had to make this call. And it was President Trump. Our military executed a flawless mission, but let's not forget, Iran is the number one state sponsor of terror. So while I know our military bases can be protected, we all need to be just as cautious as well, go about our lives. I don't want to sound warning signs, but there is a travel warning for all Americans all over the world. So right now, it's not that, again, most people have no interest in harming you, but we know Iran is more capable about carrying out smaller attacks than they are obviously responding to large-scale military operations.
Well, and Jordan, when you bring up also the fact that this is an action that many presidents have given the warning about, saying they cannot have a nuclear weapon, and yet they continue to march up and cross red line after red line and show their cards. President Trump had the courage and the advisors and the plans to actually do something about it. But as you look at this, we know that people will have to be vigilant. Our Department of Homeland Security will be vigilant. Our FBI will be vigilant here in the homeland. But I want to go back to what was either completely stopped forever or delayed for such an unforeseeable amount of time by these strikes. For one of the first times, the United States has been proactive at stopping what would draw us into a much worse war if we let happen. Imagine the difference if we had stopped 9/11, if we had gotten into World War II before Pearl Harbor and stop the atrocities of the Imperial Japanese and the Nazi Germans. Right now, we stopped us having to get into a much worse, deadlier conflict than if we had waited until they actually dropped a nuclear bomb on Israel or a base in the Middle East that killed countless people.
Yes, and you cannot let theocratic dictatorships with a end times theology, and their end times theology being that they have to destroy the nation of Israel and the United States of America. And to destroy us in modern times would take a nuclear weapon. You know, conventional warfare is not going to do that. You're not going to outrun us by numbers. But I do want to just underscore this moment for people. This is why we do pay taxes. Okay, this is why we do have a federal government. This is why I'm happy that we have the largest defense budget in the world. Because if we could send these B-52 bombers in and out of Iran, and all of these different covert operations, and all of the planning that had to go into this for months, just if the president decided to order it, and not a single shot was fired at any of our aircraft, that tells you the strength of the United States of America. So on the one hand, you can sleep very well at night long term. Second, we are not going to allow psychopaths and psychopathic dictatorships to have weapons that can kill millions of people if they are actually active. And number three, this is not a war. And as you saw with the bombings by the United States, we don't want a war with the people of Iran. Whatever U.S. media they are seeing, I hope that we repeat it as much as possible. We know the Iranian people have been living under a horrendous dictatorship for decades now, for all of our lives. As long as we know, they have been living under the Islamic Republic of Iran and the leadership of an Ayatollah. We do not want war with the Iranian people. But I hope that they seize this moment, not because we want to lead regime change. We've seen that backfire too many times. But the people themselves, which is what these moments allow, can certainly, if they were looking for a moment in those protests that we've covered since the 2000s and the Green Revolution, this is the moment. The regime is weak, the regime is scared, and its so-called allies are not coming to assist, which is why you can't let up. And I have a good feeling that, again, let's pray for our troops that could be in harm's way as we speak right now. But I imagine the response to that attack, as President Trump said, will be worse and more catastrophic for Iran than what we already saw with the bombings on the three nuclear sites.
I think if there was any question on Pete Hegseth and his role in this, that all changed over the weekend. And I think him coming out and making such bold statements and hearing the strategy that went involved, clearly the right guy for the job. Jordan, we only got a minute left. I did want to give you, maybe just give us 20, 30 seconds, because we were going to talk about all the amazing work you've been doing there at the ECLJ, but maybe give people a tease and we'll have you on a bit later on in the week to discuss that.
Well, this issue is huge because, of course, in Europe, nuclear Iran is still a major issue. It's why the calls for, you know, let's get to a ceasefire, let's calm this down. Of course, you're going to hear that from leaders. You're not hearing massive condemnation. It's actually inside inside Europe, the German leader praised Israel's initial attacks. So in many ways, we are stepping in once again, and it was Israel first, the United States leading with the technology and the capabilities, of course, that no other country on earth has to protect our interest, which is what's most important. But when we protect our interest, it's kind of oftentimes I say about our cases, when we protect our interest, we are protecting the entire world.
All right. That is going to do it for today's show. Thank you, Jordan. We'll talk to you soon. ACLJ.org for more information.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.